Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We started verse number 19, which says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" And what we're going to be picking up today is with the issue of the joy that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. And when we really look at the body of Christ as a whole, you know, one of the things that seems to be going on is that there is this lack of the joy that Paul mentions in his epistles. And Paul talks over and over again about this idea of that those who are the members of the body of Christ are supposed to be having a joy in their life. And the members of the body of Christ are those who have put their trust in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And, you know, really without this joy, you know, the testimony that we have as the members of the body of Christ really is lacking, because the whole world seems to be without this joy. And if the members of the body of Christ don't have it, then the issue becomes what makes us really different then from those in the world if we do not have this. Now, when we really look at some of the things that Paul talks about, we see how Paul actually mentions that this is the fruit of the Spirit here. If we go over to Galatians chapter number 5 for a moment, we see Paul describing the fruit of the Spirit here. We see how this is part of this here in chapter number 5, verses 22 and 23, which say, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law." Now, when we look at this idea of the fruit of the Spirit, we see the fact that it's identified as being one fruit. So, the aspect of the Spirit having an influence on us, that all of those things, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, and the temperance, all of them are supposed to be part of who we are. Now, so many people try to just pick and choose which ones that they have, or because they look at it as more that it's the fruits of the Spirit, where Paul is really saying it's one fruit that contains all of these things. And when we look at things that talk about this idea of joy, you know, people really look at the issue of the circumstances that they're in and say, well, how can I be joyous because of this or that that's going on in my life? Where the true source of joy that we're to have is related to the thing of everything that has been accomplished for us as the members of the body of Christ by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. So it's all of those things that, as Paul mentions this issue of joy, that's what's to be causing this in our lives. So when we look at verses, like, for example, we can go back over into 1 Thessalonians, but want to now go to chapter number 5, where Paul's talking about some of the practical things in the life of the believer here. We're going to read verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, which says, "Rejoice evermore." So the issue of that, the rejoicing, that joy that's there, that that's supposed to be something that's happening all throughout the life of a believer. It's supposed to be a constant part of who we are, because the thing of what has been accomplished for us really is a thing of where we can have that joy. And it's that difference between joy and happiness that, as we continue talking about these things of joy, that really is going to be that contrast of where, because so many people try to say that they're the exact same thing, and they really are not. Because the whole issue of joy is the things coming from what God has done for us, and happiness is the things that actually are related to the circumstances that we have going on in our life. And like I said, we'll talk about that more as we continue on in this, but I want to go over to Romans chapter number 15 now to look at another aspect of, as Paul's talking about this joy here. We can see how in Romans chapter number 15, we're going to read verse number 13, where it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So we see how, as Paul's describing the source of that joy, he's talking about how it's coming from God, because it's the God filling us with all joy and peace. And those things coming because of what has been accomplished for us, so he can say that this is where that is coming from. So as we see here, if we go over to Philippians chapter number 4, that we'll see, again, in that same line of thinking of where this joy is actually coming from. And here in Philippians chapter number 4, we're going to read here verse number 4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." So, again, as Paul describes this joy, he's saying to rejoice in the Lord. So it's what has been accomplished for us, what everything that Romans through Philemon talks about, that's a reality of who we are as the members of the body of Christ. That's what should cause the joy for who we are. That's why we can talk about that joy that we have. We'll go over to the book of Philemon. We'll see how Paul's going to tie this in here. When it says here in the book of Philemon, we're going to read verse number 7. It says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." So, as Paul starts to talk about this joy and how it's part of the members of the body of Christ and it's part of what has been accomplished for us, that the members of the body of Christ, just being around them, gives that demonstration of that joy that is supposed to be evident in the life of the believer. When we go back to Romans chapter number 15, we see how Paul's going to say the same thing, that, you know, the last epistle that we have laid out mentions that idea of the joy coming from being around each other. Now we see here in his first epistle that's laid out for us in Romans 15, we're going to read verse number 32. Now it says, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." So now Paul's talking about him coming unto them, coming unto this assembly that he has never met. He's never had any sort of dealings with them. And he's talking about how he's going to, his goal is to come to them with that joy. And coming to them with that joy is being identified here as the will of God, that God wants this to be the reality for the the members of the body of Christ to be interacting in this manner. We can go over to 2 Corinthians now. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 to see how Paul's going to say something. And this is one of those ones that really does create problems for individuals when they see what Paul actually says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. We'll read verse number 4. And it says, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation." And it's a difficult thing sometimes for people to really grasp the idea of when Paul's saying to be joyful in the tribulation. So Paul's saying that even in the fact that there's these problems going on, that he's saying he can be, that he's joyful in them, and saying it in a manner where it's a demonstration for us as the members of the body of Christ to be functioning in that same manner as well, to where we are, can say that we have that kind of joy in the problems. Now, when we look at that idea, and we've talked about how for the members of the body of Christ, we're given to suffer for his sake, that there's a fellowship of suffering, that he talks about how there's a time coming that where all those who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. And all of those things that he's talking about, the tribulation, the persecution, none of that's coming from God, because we have the protection from the wrath of God because we're the members of the body of Christ, and God doesn't punish those who are doing the right things. And we're identified as doing the right things because we're identified with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So since we're already seen as righteous, God cannot punish those who are identified as being righteous. So this is not the wrath of God being poured out. This is the wrath of man coming upon. So this tribulation that Paul's talking about, you know, these are the circumstances going on in our lives. You know, some of them just because of the natural course of this world. Others coming upon us because of the fact that we're identified as a member of the body of Christ. And the tribulation and problems that come about as a result of being a member of the body of Christ. And Paul's saying that even in this, that he is exceedingly joyful in this. So there's a joy that he has really coming about because of all of these things, and seeing that if he's going through them, then it means that he is doing the right things that are pleasing to God. Because if he's talking about the wrath of man, or how even Satan has a wrath of stirring people up against what God's doing during this dispensation, that if those things are going on, it means that we're functioning properly. If we're not facing that tribulation coming about because of who we are as the members of the body of Christ, then that means that we have stopped standing for this message. We're not doing the things to get the grace of God out to other individuals. So there's nothing to rejoice about in those circumstances. Now let's go over to Romans chapter number 5 here to see, as Paul's going to start, you know, continue talking about this idea of joy and where it's coming from here. Now here in Romans chapter number 5, we're going to start here at verse number 8 and go down through verse number 11. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God, by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So as Paul talks about why we have this joy, we see how it's the issue of the love that's been demonstrated towards us. We see the issues of the reconciliation. We see the justification. We see the fact that we're saved from the wrath because of all these things. He calls it the atonement, the payment that's been taken care of for us related to the issue of sin. And because we have that, it says we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the idea of we understand the reality that of what has been said about us as the members of the body of Christ. And because we understand that reality, it means that we should demonstrate that whole idea of the joy. And by the fact that we're demonstrating that joy, when we share this message with other individuals, that they can see the difference between who we are and how the rest of the world is actually functioning. Because the rest of the world, really, their whole idea of joy is all based upon the circumstances of what's, you know, so if things are going really well, there seems to be this sense of joy. And if things aren't going well, then that sense of joy seems to be lacking from them. And when you really look at Paul saying that we should be joyous no matter what is going on. Now, not only is this something that was said about us as the members of the body of Christ, but we see how the scriptures actually identify that the nation of Israel was to really have joy as well. And throughout the scriptures that are written to them, we see how this is said of them. For example, we'll look at a few examples of this. In fact, we'll start here over in the book of Proverbs. And we'll go to Proverbs chapter number 17 to see what Solomon is going to say regarding this here. And here in Proverbs 17, we're going to read here verse number 22. And it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." So we see here the description that Solomon's giving, and it's talking about the idea of, you know, really in that the circumstances that's going on, and how that if there's a merry heart, it does a person good. If there's, you know, a broken spirit, which means there's a lack of that joy in their life, that it's going to have a negative impact on the individual. And you can see how that is. And if you've ever seen people who, you know, never seem to be happy, you see how, and I said happy, but never demonstrating that joy in their life, you see how it does really have an impact on who they are. Now, let's go over to the book of John now. We'll go to John chapter number 16, and we see something the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to the disciples here. And we're going to read verse number 22 of John chapter number 16. It says, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." So he's telling them that even though at this point now that they may have this sorrow, that there's this time coming, he says, that he's going to see them again, and when he sees them again, that they're going to have a joy that nobody is going to take from them. And we see the difference with the disciples when, after the resurrection happens, how, you know, prior to it that they really were in a depressed mood. They were down about everything that was going on. And the moment that they know that the reality of the resurrection has occurred, even though the scriptures had told them, he had told them himself numerous times as he was ministering to them that he was going to die and he was going to rise again, you know, they struggled understanding what that actually meant. But when they saw the reality of the fact that he actually did rise from the dead, that there was a joy, there was a complete change in who they were and their whole ministry. As you see them continuing on, you see that demonstration of that joy in their lives. Now we can go over here. Let's go to the book of James now. I'm going to James chapter number 1. And we're going to read here in James 1, verses 2, 3, and 4 here. And it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, James is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. He's giving instructions for those who are going through the time of the 70th week of Daniel, and talk about how there should be a joy in the fact that they're facing temptations, that they're facing these problems, they're facing things that are testing them to see if they're going to be able to maintain the faith that they're supposed to have. And James is telling them that they should count this as joy. They should be having that as a thing of, okay, that this is how everything is supposed to be. And because we understand that this is how everything is supposed to be, and that, you know, God is actually doing everything that the scriptures have laid out, then there should be a joy that would be demonstrated in their life. Now we're going to look at one more example here today. Let's go over to Psalm 118 now. And here in Psalm 118, we're going to read here verse number 24. And it says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So when he's talking about this, you know, and so he's, well, he's talking about, you know, every day that we should be, you know, having this joy every day. But when you really look through the context of Psalm 118 and you start seeing what is actually being spoken of, you start to see how it's talking about the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he's coming again with them. Because you see how verse 25 talks about, you know, "Save now, I beseech thee." You know, so there's this whole idea of that there's a coming time that even though he has been rejected, that there's a time coming when he's going to fulfill all of those promises for the nation of Israel. And by the fact that he's going to fulfill all of those promises, that it's something that is really is supposed to spark the joy in their lives. Because, you know, everything that goes along with what the scriptures say is supposed to be the reality for individuals. Those are the things that really, because it's coming from God, it should be a source of joy for individuals. Now we're going to continue looking at some aspects of this joy that's laid out in the scriptures in our next episode. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information on how to watch our services live as they're broadcast on Facebook on Sunday as well. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. You know, this Wednesday we'll be continuing going through the book of 1 Peter, looking at what Peter is saying to the nation of Israel, but also contrasting it with the things that are written for us, the members of the body of Christ, and Paul's epistles. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about the things that you hear in these broadcasts, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.